The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So underrated. Radio
X. Hello, I'm Gordon Smart. This is the Evening Show podcast, and producer Vin is here looking very healthy today, Vin.
Thank you.
There's a
glow
about
you.
No, there's a glow about you. Is it because there's been loads of cricket on the telly?
Yeah. I've been revelling in Alistair Cook's departure.
Well, where do you stand on it? Good news, bad news?
At the moment, great news, because I'm supporting India. next week, terrible, terrible loss for England.
Hold on, this isn't a cricket podcast. Not talking about round news. I know, it's my fault. That is a rabbit hole going. Do you go down with Vin? It's been a busy week again, Vin, hasn't it?
Yeah, lots on.
Great guest. We had Luke from the Cooks, Luke Pritchard. He's always brilliant, isn't he, Luke?
What a lovely man.
He's just a lovely man, isn't he? He just comes in with a smile on his face.
But he cheers everyone else up. He's one of those people, isn't he?
We had Claire, one of the interns here, who sat in on the interview, and it's really unusual to see some of the guys in the office and how they react to some of the artists that pop in, because she's a big fan.
Yeah, exactly. Doing this job, you obviously get to meet a lot of you know, musicians and actors and whatever. But every now and then you get someone, and we'll get starstruck by someone. So the Kooks mean quite a lot to her.
I hope she doesn't mind us saying this, but she did say it was the best day of her life.
Well, she went to see them that night.
See them afterwards at the Moth Club. Fantastic stuff. And also, while we're talking about the Kooks, the Wombats kind of feel like a band in the same sort of bracket, you know?
I think they're both having
a resurgence. So we had a bit of that on Monday night for the classic album chat, A Guide to Love, Loss and Desperation, which was really nice to go back and look at.
That debut, well, I remember that coming out. I remember going to see them,
Yeah, and it was great, because in the interview with Luke, he was talking about chatting to Murph after the gigs they did at the weekend at Reading and Leeds. So
they've both lived similar lives, haven't they, I suppose?
Yeah, grown up at the same time, you know, a lot of shared experiences. So exactly. loads to enjoy from those guys on the Evening Show podcast. And I tell you what as well, we had Hosier on the show. What is it about Ireland and that treadmill of incredible vocal talent?
The voice is amazing. This song that he was talking about, Nina Cried Power, what a tune.
I could see there was goosebumps when you heard it for the first time.
Yeah, so we get sent these songs, obviously, to listen to.
Yeah.
And normally, you know, you give them a few listens, you think, oh, that's the interesting bit, or I like that bit, or whatever. That song, I just played it 5 times on a loop,
in my
headphones, just sitting at my desk.
There's a real flavour of Rag and Bone Man about it, lots of soul in it,
proper,
very rich sound.
Proper soul song, yeah.
This is a big claim, right? But one of my favourite voices from Ireland ever was a guy called Andrew Strong from The Commitments. Remember him?
Oh, the Commitments.
What a voice. Bono, what an incredible voice. Hosier has got a voice capable of, you know, it's one of those when you hear like Paolo Nutini going for it in Iron Sky.
Totally, totally. Well, he's done a lot of sort of stripped back and acoustic gigs and things that I've been watching, and he's powerful, man.
It's like watching Messi playing football and you think, I could never do that.
Yeah.
The way he delivers a vocal, you think, That's beyond the realms of any normal person.
But could he sing a song like that on a wet night in Stoke?
No, with a fish supper in his hand. Of course he couldn't. Anyway, enjoy the Evening Show podcast. I hope you like it.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Right, I'm excited about the next character, because we are very lucky to speak to incredibly talented people on this show, and we've got one tonight. And I always talk about great voices from Ireland, Andrew Strong, Bono, and this man is right up there as well with a belter, Manuka Honey of a voice. His name is Andrew Hosier Byrne. You might know him as Hosier, you will know Take Me to Church, and wait till you hear this new song I'm going to play for you in just a second. But anyway, before we get to that, Andrew, how are you, sir?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm brand new. Would you do us a little favour and set the scene for us? Where are you in the world right now?
I am in Dublin at the moment, currently, and we've done two rehearsal shows.
How would you rate your performance of those two gigs out of 10? Are you pleased? Are you thrilled? Are you terrified? It's all going horribly wrong.
I'd say first night was a 6. Second night was, we're up at, it's on the up anyway, 7 or 8.
Sensational stuff.
Yeah, band are fantastic. Thankfully, I'm the one making most of the mistakes.
It's the best time to make those mistakes, isn't it? The new song is unbelievable, right? It's powerful, it's political, it's important, it's big, it's bold, it's ambitious. Tell me about it, right? It's got a great name as well. Nina Cried Power. What's the story behind that as well?
I think that the song is kind of like a thank you note, I suppose, nearly to the legacy of like artists from the 20th century that we can kind of... that. I'd still kind of draw inspiration from. So people who were fairly unfazed in uncertain times, there is a history and a precedence of people being in equally uncertain times and being in hard times and saying, you know what, F it. Like, you know, we have our voice, we have our hands, and we don't need to be cowed. We can sing about it and whatever. I think it started nearly with like a lot of people talk about, you know, wokeness, political awareness being woke, and in a kind of a tongue-in-cheek way, that kind of, I think the first line in my head was, well, it's not about being woke, it's not about being awake, it's not about having your eyes open, it's about being risen, you know, it's about actually getting up out of bed and standing up.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a thank you note to the legacy of protest and the legacy of protest songs. And so kind of referenced in it, of course, is Nina Simone and then other singers like, obviously, like kind of Pete Seeger, Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie, and then you're kind of, you're like Curtis Mayfield's and your Billie Holiday's and Patti Smith's and Joni Mitchell's as well too. And Mavis Staples, of course.
Of course, who's that second time Mavis Staples has come up in 6 months on Radio X, because Gorillaz worked with Damon Albarn and Mavis's voice is on the latest album, The Now Now.
Oh, right, yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, how do you approach somebody like Mavis Staples? How does that happen?
I was super fortunate in that there was a kind of a precedent in contact between myself and Mavis. We had a lot of near misses. I nearly crossed paths with her in Australia at a blues festival, Byron Bay Blues Festival. And at Newport Folk Festival, we crossed paths. And her, I think they had reached out, her side had reached out. She released an album recently, and which they were wondering if I was around to kind of do some writing with her on it. But I was up to my gills touring, but I really, really wanted to work with her in some. And she's, you know, her work and her legacy is a huge, huge kind of,
yeah,
has a huge place in my heart. So I was super glad. And when this song, when Nina Cried Power was kind of in its emerging, when I was starting to write that, I thought it was important to kind of see if I could sing it with her, you know, and sure, get her involved.
Well, listen, Andrew, we think the song is sensational. It sends shivers down our spines, and this is the first time we've played it on Radio X. So here we go, Radio X listeners. This is Hosea. What a tune this is. Nina Cried Power on Radio X.
It's not the waking, it's the rising.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Nina Cried Power.
What an incredible song. That was Hosea, Nina Cried Power. We're loving that here at Radio X. What an emotional tune. That really does send shivers. Goosebumps every time. Congratulations, Andrew. What a tune.
Thanks very much.
Right, from the sublime to the ridiculous, I want you to help me with my book. I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon. It's a terrible pun. And the premise of the book is, I once bumped into Sean Connery in the toilet, and I always wondered, who's the most famous person Sean Connery's bumped into in the toilet? So the idea is that we carry this book on as a chain, and okay, we now have something like 100 different musicians who have told brilliant stories about awkward encounters. Has Hosea had an awkward moment in a bathroom with a famous musician?
Oh my God, Jesus, I'd have to think about that. I'd have to think about it. I'm sure there is a few, and I'm sure there's one or two that I can't. I couldn't even mention, really.
It's tempting it's tempted to say Gwan to you.
Yeah, Gwan. I think I definitely remember there was a fun night with some of the guys from Snow Patrol, and yeah. I definitely remember being a bit wayward one night in London, I think. And I can't remember the details, and if I did, I probably wouldn't go into it. But I remember having a good few with and they're super, super fun heads, yeah, as well.
I mean, that leads me on to my next question, really, then. Hosea, I'm going to call you on this one. On tour, how wayward are you as an Irishman? Do you live up to the Scottish and Irish stereotype? I mean, listen, you're an Irishman with a Scottish name, so the odds are stacked against you for being well-behaved.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think we live up to it in that we know what good crack is, and we know, yeah, you know, we know what it's about, you know what I mean, and what you know, how to have a good time, and but definitely on the first tour, yeah, like we worked hard and we played hard, and I think with time maybe I'm getting a bit more level headed, and it's you just can't afford the hangover sometimes, but but we've a lot of fun, and we just laugh a lot. We laugh a lot, and I think that's if we weren't doing that, what would be the point, you know?
Just like in your songs, you choose your words very well. Wayward, and we play hard and work hard. Like, it's very diplomatic.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
And I'm delighted to say that we've got a returning visitor. Last time we saw Luke from the Cooks was back in May, and it's been fascinating, Luke, following what's happened the last few months. It's been a busy summer, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Thanks for having me back, yeah, man.
Good to see you.
It's been really good. Yeah, I was just saying, you know, it's good to see how the record's connecting, and it's been quite a long process. We put like 4 or 5 songs out, and it's been a long build up. But it feels like people are digging the music, so that's a good thing.
I suppose like the climax of all of that process is playing it live, and there's nothing better than Reading and Leeds than testing it all out.
Yeah, that was amazing. Actually, it was pretty rubbish weather, but crowd at Reading was insane. You know, we didn't put too many songs in, but the new ones seem to be working, like No Pressure and Four Leaf, just like they fit in the set. And I think it's kind of cool because what we've done, and it was kind of slightly intentional, what we've done is to make a record that really nods back to our first record, with it also sounding really new. So those songs just like totally fit in the set, and they're proper festival belters, I think. And so that was that was a really cool experience.
It was also slightly prophetic, right? So we met in May, and you've got a really upbeat, cheery, optimistic "Let's Go Sunshine," and you've just had the warmest summer ever. So if it'd been a wet summer, you'd written an upbeat, summery album. It might not have worked as well.
The whole marketing campaign would have been.
I'm going to start calling you Michael Fish. You're the weatherman to me now, Luke.
I mean, you know, I think we got lucky, but it's been an amazing summer, and. Good, you know, I just think it's like we talked about. I thought a lot about what you said, actually, funny enough, because no one had really said it, and it wasn't something I thought about, but it is, it's been great to do something really positive musically at a time where maybe that wasn't really around. And,
I think that's where the Kooks belong in the world, isn't it?
I think so.
It's important that people remain upbeat. And is that how you feel after dropping a record like Let's Go Sunshine?
I just believe that one of the great things that I love about British bands is a bit of humour as well, and a bit of Monty Python, do you know what I mean? I think I don't know if we have enough of that or too much or whatever, but it feels like that we sit somewhere where we don't, you know, we've got deep moments like Weight of the World, or even though Pressure's quite a romantic tune, but then we've got like, you know, Chicken Bone and Pamela that are kind of, we're putting in some humour, and I always like that from the great British bands. And so I think like hopefully like when you put on the record, they give you a little, those songs are going to give you a smile, you know. And I do think that we're always going to sit there as the Kooks, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the sentiment of the song we're about to play belongs in there as well, Four Leaf Clover. It was our record of the week, and we've loved it, and the Radio X audience loved it as well. So I'm going to play it right now, and then I'm going to watch you as we play it and see how you react. You comfortable with that?
I'm comfortable,
It's going to be very odd for you, Luke. Now, this is Four Leaf Clover, our former record of the week on Radio X. It's the Kooks.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
That was the Kooks, Four Leaf Clover on the evening show. Luke sitting opposite me. I just watched them very closely as we played that song. Can I tell you one of the weirdest things I've had to do, Luke?
Go on.
It's when a band takes you into the studio and says, I'm going to play the music, and they watch you.
That is weird.
Do you ever do that with music, with DJs and journalists?
Yeah, I mean, and friends, you know? Right, I think like it's really weird from a band point of view, and it's also really weird the other way around. I mean, I think that different, like for me, I just would like, I always would want to listen to the whole thing, not say a word. Take it all in, and then give an honest opinion.
I'd love a little insight into those conversations you have, because we had Murph from the Wombats on the other day, and he said he had a lovely chat with you at Reading or Leeds. I can't remember which one it was. What happens when you're having those conversations? Because you're both kind of synced up with the time that you're releasing these records. So, do you open your hearts to each other?
I feel a real affinity with them, and I think you know Murph. I've met over the years. He's such a lovely guy, and I think. It's great to see him in such a good place as well, you know, because it's same as us, you know. I think, you know, he's had his ups and downs. I think it's just great when you see someone like, I'm a big fan of the new single, and I mean the whole new record is vibey, and I think that I feel that kind of journey, there's an affinity there. But it's great as well to be kind of just part of something with a bunch of people, you know what I mean. I like that kind of thing, and I think festivals do allow you to kind of have a cup of tea and a chat about it. And for him, it was you know, getting over to LA and maybe, you know, going in a different path, and it's really worked for his songwriting.
Amazing, a real resurgence for both of you at the moment. Right, listen, Luke, I was looking at the tour dates and some really interesting ones on there. So you're playing Kingston tonight.
We had Kingston tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow, I think. Tonight's the Moth Club.
Right, oh yes. Brilliant little venue, isn't it?
Yeah, we're excited.
You can see the whites of people. See, here's the thing, you've just played Reading and Leeds. A musician once said to me, when you play the big gigs like that, it's like beans on toast, you can't really tell what people are. But is there a difference for you as a band where you can see the whites of people's eyes?
Yeah, I think it's completely different. I mean, there's a different technique in some ways, and you kind of, with the big shows, I actually find them easier in a way. But I love the small ones. a bit more, because you kind of... It's not just the intimacy. I just think it's just like that there's a bit of grit, you know. Yeah. It's like the room resonates and the room is shaking and there's like natural distortion and things like that. And it just generally sounds better. And it's more of a musical experience, yeah, than a festival, I think. For us as well, these shows are going to be cool because we're going to do like lots of the new album, where we haven't really played that many. I mean, it's, you know, it's doing probably like 6-7 new, yeah, songs, which I think, you know, it's great to do that with people you know really love the band. You know, they're coming, they've woken up at 8 a.m. yeah, to get their tickets, do you know what I mean? Amazing. I think that's really cool. Hopefully I'll be on side, you know.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Every Monday night, we delve a little bit deeper into an album we love here at Radio X. And there's an album that's been on our mind a lot in the last week because we spoke to Matthew Murphy from The Wombats. It's called A Guide to Love, Loss and Desperation. And that album came out on the 5th of November 2007, very nearly 11 years ago. What an album it was as well. It reminds me of a very happy time. It got to number 11. It's gone platinum in the UK since then. Had some huge indie disco tracks on it. Kill the Director, Let's Dance to Joy Division, Moving to New York, plus fans' favourites Party in a Forest and Backfire at the Disco, which all appeared on early EPs they released in Liverpool back in 2003. In fact, I think some of their music came out in Japan first, which is quite a brave way to do things. Anyway, the album sort of sums up what the album's all about. Earnest, full of angst, emotional, all with a big dose of humour as well. Murph is a very funny man. He has a great way with words and a bit of an obsession with animals as well, which is a bit odd. Anyway, the album starts with an a cappella set of harmonies with Tales of Girls, Boys and Marsupials, which was also an EP, then tumbles into pure noughties indie pop charm. Frenetic, energetic, provides plenty of opportunity for some real indie disco pogoing. Definitely features in a lot of indie disco playlists, that one. The album was recorded in the very famous Rockfield Studios in Wales. Now, we were talking about this earlier. The album turned 10 years old last year, and there's a big anniversary show last. I think it was Ali Pali they played, which was absolutely massive. Followed by the new album, Beautiful People Will Ruin Your Life, and there are some stunning sets just over the last month or so at Reading and Leeds. In fact, it's all been going pretty well for the Wombats, as Murph told me last week.
It was a real kind of moment for the three of us, I think. I mean, Reading was probably the best show we've ever done, really.
4 years ago, I saw the positive future of the Wombats, but it was never, you know, this positive in my head. There was no Wembley, there was no main stage Reading and Leeds. There was no, you know, now I can see us headlining Reading and Leeds, whereas I would have laughed in your face 3 or 4 years ago.
How happy would you say you are right now as a band, as the three of you?
The happiest we've ever been.
So there you have it. The Wombats are happier than ever, and this period of success seems to have been kickstarted by that 10th anniversary and the Guide to Love, Loss and Desperation, which they were celebrating last year. And quite right too, what an album. So let's enjoy it. Two of the big songs from it, which feature at every indie disco. Let's chat, dance to Joy Division and Moving to New York.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X.
There you go, a double dose from that classic album. A Guide to Love, Loss and Desperation from November 2007, nearly 11 years ago. Alex got in touch and said, hey Gordon, they've churned out consistently fun and catchy albums since day one, with some impressive moments of depth too. They deserve it. Good words there. Robin Gill as well, smashing it tonight on Radio X, and it just got a whole lot better with classic album tunes from the Wombats. So there you have it, two songs there. Moving to New York, which was the band's first single before being re-released in 2008. Joyous, upbeat, catchy guitar tune with some slightly troubling lyrics as well. Classic Wombats then. Before that, you heard Let's Dance to Joy Division, which was the second single from the album, and it's based on a very boozy night out Murph had with his girlfriend at the time in a club up in Liverpool. They actually did get on a table and dance to Joy Division. Don't see that very often. There's a hidden track on the single. It's bassist Tord singing the Norwegian version of the Postman Pat theme tune. Seriously, I would say go and look at it, but it's not really worth a listen. You can hear Kill the Director in the background right now. Apparently that was written about the Cameron Diaz film, The Holiday. I think Jude Law was in that as well. The band hated it and set about writing a song all about the movie. Remember the lyrics? This is no Bridget Jones and all of that stuff. Anyway, before track one, there's a hidden track which contains the band attempting to play wine glasses. We've all been there. And talking about Beaujolais, they do a fake advert for Beaujolais. Every day's a beau day when you drink Beaujolais. Ah, Beaujolais. Can't believe I read that out on air. That's a bit Partridge, isn't it? Anyway, really enjoyed that. Another classic album for you next week on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I'm going to do something odd as well now, Hosier, Andrew. I'm going to Google your name. You okay with
that?
No. Right?
Okay.
I've not done this yet, right? So the deal is you have to answer whatever comes up, right?
Okay.
Just one second. I'm going to type this in. This is a bit embarrassed, but the question is, why is Hosier so good? That's the first thing that comes in when I Google your name.
It's that Celtic blood, man.
It's a great answer. Listen, we were just talking about you being slightly wild, enjoying yourself, all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. How do you look after your voice, right? This is quite important to bands who are listening and singers who are listening, because I speak to a lot of guys who say your wings are really clipped when you have to stand up on stage every night and sing. You can't really rip the wrapper off it every night. Do you look after yourself and look after that voice? Because it is a beautiful musical instrument.
Definitely. So I took a few lessons on easing the kind of like warming up and warming down, which is the kind of boring part of it, but like before a show. But after you've done it, then you're tempted to headlong into meeting people after the show and like thanking people, etc. But warming down is a big part of it. So there is the boring. I literally eat ginger. like just straight from the roof. No jokes. Yeah.
That is powerful. More from Hosier in just a second. You're right to stick around.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
he's an Irishman in a pub. Of course he is. More from Hosier in just a second.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
You mentioned some of the tour dates earlier on. You're doing a War Child gig, and you know some phenomenal bands over the years have played for War Child. It must be great to come across to London and support a great charity like that at the same time.
Yeah, no, War Child are amazing, man. Absolutely, yeah. And they do incredible work. And I think it was through Marcus Mumford. Is a huge advocate for the stuff that they do. He is an amazing man. He's such a dude. So there was an event they were putting on a couple of years ago, and there was loads of musicians involved. So that was the first thing I did with them. But yeah, being able to do this is great, and they really do some fantastic stuff.
And that's at Coco, isn't it, Camden?
That's the Coco. Yeah, it's really good fun. Yeah,
great venue. Now, I've seen some very very special gigs there, right? But can you offer some encouragement to bands who might have had an absolute stinker recently? Would you share your worst gig with us, one that's gone horribly wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd go back to the first time I ever sang on stage. Or I want to say I was maybe a kid. I was maybe like 6 years old when they had me singing in church and stuff like that. But when I was about 8 years old or maybe 10 years old, as part of a kind of a community center like play or something like that, like real community center vibes, community show, they had me singing PAA Zoo before my voice had dropped. The first time singing, so thankfully nothing as bad has ever happened like this, but also I didn't really know how to handle it, something going badly. Midway through, there's this high note, this outrageous high note in it, and as I tried to hit it, like puberty in real time, boom, voice went absolute, like just, you know, and I buried my head in my hands, and while this like MIDI little electronic MIDI piano backing track just played out as I stood kind of paralyzed with my head kind of in my hands.
Oh,
like,
God.
Until I believe, until like one of, like some an older lady who was kind of organizing just kind of went, yeah, it's okay, come off you go. It's over.
Oh man,
yeah,
you've done well to recover from that one. That's sore.
And I had to do it the next night as well too. Yeah. And it was rough. So
the second night performed as you were Barry White. You know, deep, really deep bass.
I've
got one more thing to ask you about Hosier. Now, Mavis Staples, what an incredible person to perform with. Booker T as well.
Yeah, man.
And the MGs, if anybody's listened to Green Onions, what a song that is. Booker T, again, what a phenomenal musician to have on a track.
Yeah, no, I'm super, super, like, genuinely was felt blessed now to have him join us.
On that subject, one of our favourite songs we listen to is From Eden, the remix that Jack Steadman from Bombay Bicycle Club did.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Mr. Jukes, as we know him.
Mr. Jukes, yeah.
How do you feel about people tinkering with your music? Do you take it as a compliment, or are you like, hold up, that's mine?
I'd be of the mind that I think it's a nice thing. I think it's a good thing, and like everything about music is all about development and reimagination and kind of rethinking. So like when you look back at like jazz music, it's just like taking popular, a lot of jazz, like classic jazz music is like taking popular show tunes and like, you know, messing with harmony, messing with melody and rhythm and stuff like that. And like, so for that, I think, and as well, if you're going to cover a song, I think it's important where you can to turn it on its head as much as possible. So I thought what he did with that was super inventive and super cool. Yeah.
Listen, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Nina Cried Power is a huge song. We love it. Thank you for it. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for having us. To the great man, Andrew Hose-Airburn. He is over in Dublin at the moment, but he's going to be here very soon playing gigs. Go and see him live. His music, his voice, it will shake your skeleton and sort your soul right out. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Gordon. Thanks, man.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Great to see you, Luke.
It's great to see you.
You're one of those really, people that just makes so me much. Happy to see how things are going for you. You're doing well.
Nice one.
It's annoying. It's the success.
Anyway. That's it. That's the way we are. You know, it's kind of you're happy slash not happy for each other.
it's Gore Vidal who said that. He said, there's nothing quite like seeing your friends doing really, really well and you're still doing the same thing. Right, listen, one of the most Googled things about the Kooks is about the origin of the name, right? Which is Bowie related, isn't it?
It is Bowie related, yes.
Would things have been the same for your band had you not been called the Kooks? And can you tell us the other names that were in the running when you were sitting discussing it?
It's a funny one. I always think of names as just, it is just a handle, because some of the stupidest names have ended up being massive bands, I think, you know.
Arctic Monkeys, I suppose, an example.
There's a great story. I actually know a really good story about that, where the guy from a record label that I know, and he saw the name, didn't go to the show, it's before they got signed, and just said they were rubbish because of the name. And then he came back. I actually genuinely think Arctic Monkeys, actually, when you think about it, it's quite clever, because it's this kind of juxtaposition of, you know, there isn't really an Arctic Monkey, is there? You know, a monkey can't live in the cold. So it's quite clever. But we actually had one called Ape Goes West.
Ape
Goes West.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, our old drummer was a bit of a nutter. Paul's great. We had a few arguments on that one. I mean, the Kooks, I mean, it's like, sometimes I love it, sometimes I hate it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I think it's for me, it's good because it is so relatable to me, to like the beat bands, and like the reason why I even started music was, you know, my dad was in a band and because of that whole story, and because he wasn't around growing up with his records, and he was in the Echoes, and I always wanted to be in the band. Always wanted that,
and
I
loved it.
We needed the I knew that.
Half of it's there.
Exactly. But the Kooks, I mean, it's stuck with us, and it's we're kind of stuck with it. So.
Yeah. More from Luke in just a second on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Now, I've got to ask you another thing about indie discos, right? Your songs belong in any indie disco, right? But if you're DJing, what's your opener and what's your finisher? Nailed on, floor fillers and finishers.
I'm the world's worst DJ.
I'm afraid Murph from the Wombat said that, so you've got to be the second worst.
I know, I heard the interview. He said he cleared the dance floor, and I've done that before. Last night, I dreamt somebody loved me. But it was an accident. I think it was meant to be Cemetery Gates, and it was so it's Smith. But my opener song, DJ wise, would be Staying Alive, the Bee Gees, because I'm a cheese ball. I think still that song. Peter had his wedding quite recently, our bass player, and they didn't play it, and I was like, that is the
You've got to
tune.
Do a wedding.
And if I was DJ, I'd be more that kind of cheesy wedding DJ.
Yeah.
So sorry to be a bit boring.
Well, it's funny you mention that, though, because because you've been going for a good decade or so now.
Yeah.
Do you get asked to do people's weddings all the time and engagements? People asked to come on stage and propose to their girlfriends in front of you and stuff like that.
There's been a few things like that. We got asked to do Peter Crouch's wedding.
No way.
Yeah, we really wanted to do it as well. It was just like a confliction of dates. Yeah.
Oh man.
I thought that would have been really fun.
That would have been great. He's obviously of this parish as well, Crouch. He's my substitute.
Yeah, right. I mean, we tend to keep our powder dry with stuff like that. Yeah. I think, you know, it's a bit of a slippery slope because, you know, it's like then it's the bar mitzvahs.
I'm just like, I won't ask her to do my 40th then. Yeah.
There's, you know, it's nice. We've had a few people, the same kind of thing, like get on stage and propose and things like that. It's quite
Paul
cool.
Weller told us a mad one the other day that a guy's dying wish was to see him. So they brought him out in a trolley as he performed the gig, and it was the last thing he got to see, man. You know,
that's beautiful.
For music, it's a beautiful, incredible thing, isn't it?
It is. There's a guy coming to the Pavilion de Noir, I think it's called, in Bexhill. Right. Who really sadly he had an accident, was put in a wheelchair, and he started drawing, and he drew a picture of us, and he wants to come to the show, and we're going to bring him in. And I think, you know, what's helped him through is music, not just us, obviously.
Yeah.
And those stories are really beautiful when you hear people. You know, have your music's like kind of got to them in that way. And
good on you, like, that's cracking stuff. Intern Claire, who works here, she wants to know if Seaside was written on Brighton Beach, and there's a reason I ask you that. Was it written on Brighton Beach?
Kinda. I mean, basically, it was started by Paul, our old drummer. Anyway, he kind of wrote the first bits, and we completed it in Seaford. So we did that in like his mum's house in Seaford. I vaguely remember, but
There's a reason I ask you that. It's because Tom Grennan, who we love dearly,
I love Tom. Yeah.
Do you know the story behind this?
Well, I do know the story. So he sang Seaside, right? And then someone said, "Oh, you're a great singer."
First time he realised he could sing.
I mean, that's cool.
I mean, that
man.
Is an amazing, because his career's flying, and it was all triggered. The catalyst was the Kooks, which must give you.
It's so great. He still hasn't posted about on your arm, but you know.
Do you know him? Have you become friendly with him?
Yeah.
He's
really
a great lad, Tom, isn't he? He's a great lad.
You know, it's like we haven't quite managed to like actually go for a beer or whatever, but he's such a nice guy, and like, you know, big fan. I went to his show at the Shepherd's Bush Empire. Yeah. And it was, you know, we definitely, like, you know, connected, man.
Let's suggest the collaboration now,
I think,
right?
That'd be cool,
the Kooks and Tom Grennan.
I'd do it, man.
I think the voices would work well together, you know?
I think it would. I think he's a super talented guy, man. It would be an honour.
Superb stuff. Luke, it's such a pleasure when you come in. You know, the door's always open for you when you want to come in here.
Thanks, man.
Just come for a cup of tea or something stronger.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be back.
All the best on those little gigs as well. The Oban one sounds fascinating.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
I mean, what's going to be 40, 50 people in that room?
I think so.
Man, that'd
that's
be amazing.
Be amazing, yeah.
If only I could get back and get a night off.
Man.
Listen.
Again, you're always welcome, man.
You'd have
any
to cancel,
show, you
have to cancel four shows after that, though.
Yeah.
That's what happens when I come along. Listen, man, great to see you.
Thank you, brother.
Luke Pritchard, how about that? Magical stuff.